Support doesn't always come with a pat on the back. Support comes with, let me talk to you over here, yeah, and we're going to talk about, like, you need to stop doing that, or this is what you could do better. But we have to grow up to receive that.
Exactly.
Because some people won't give you that feedback if they feel like you're not in a headspace to receive it.
No, so good.
So you got to check yourself to, because they say you have to be friendly to have friends, right?
That's right.
So if you want people in your life to feed you, like constructive criticism, you have to be open to that.
Hey, and welcome back to Let's Be Real, Not Right. No drama here, just real, classy, and thought-provoking conversations over E's memoir, Who's That Girl? Chapters 5 through 8. We are your co-hosts, Jen the Godmother, the corporate free spirit, Rayson Reed, the philanthropist and motivational speaker, Courtney J, our confidence coach and model, and Fashionably She, the corporate fashion blogger. Join us as we walk through Eve's journey to fame and realize how similar her obstacles were to so many of ours. Welcome home, sis.
Hey guys, welcome back to Let's Be Real, Not Right. It's me, Courtney J, and we are going over chapters 5 through 8. I have my ladies with me.
Fashionably She.
Jen the Godmother.
Racery.
Yes, ma'am. And before we start, we just want to give a big shout out to our producer, Cino Max, with two X's, doing his big thing back there.
Big thing.
Thank you so much.
Love it, love it, love it. So, and real quick, if you guys are tuned in to one of the audio versions of, I guess, podcasting, if you're not on YouTube, you got to check us out. The outfits, the ladies today, they showed up, okay?
Y'all did.
Looking good. Listen, looking good. We look real good. Looking good.
Clean and crisp.
So beautiful job. You clean up well.
Clean and crisp. Face is clean. Shoes is on.
Teeth shining.
So, of course, if you're listening in, come on, teeth. Be sure to check us out on YouTube, too. So I'm going to go ahead and jump on in. Chapter 5, we're going over Eve's memoir. And if you missed episode 1, make sure you go back and listen or watch. Really good time. Had a lot of fun doing that. Chapter 5, Pitbull in a Skirt is exactly what it sounds like. A little rah, rah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like a
rough rider.
You know what I'm saying? Cute with it. So in this chapter, Eve is talking about her experience with DMX and actually going and trying out, if you will, for the Rough Riders. So she goes over her experience, what it was like to actually go in and rap battle against everybody. I thought that was pretty lit. What did you ladies get from that chapter? Like, just knowing that she was about to go in and she has to battle against all these dudes.
I was nervous for her. And honestly, all the movies that I've seen, I've only seen men battle.
Yeah.
I've never seen women battle. So I was nervous for her. Like, are they going to shut her down? Like, are they going to be too aggressive? Is she ready for that? But, I mean, that's real life too, though.
Yeah, exactly. See, I wasn't nervous at all for her, because I feel like God put her in there with them paws. And she was ready. She was ready. And that was a surprise for me, that the paws came before
Same.
So it was super cool. I love she talked about DMX, and she talked about how DMX has two sides. Earl, his birth name, and talked about how that was more of his soft side.
Peace.
Yeah. R.I.P. DMX for sure.
And then me some DMX.
For real.
It was just something so genuine about DMX, you know, that I captured. I've never been into like the rap, but it was something about him that I connected with. Mm-hmm. I guess that's that genuine side.
His rawness.
Yes, the rawness. Yes. And also, I felt like there was a level of pain that he endured. You know, I could just see it. You know how you could kind of just see an other person that they have dealt with a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think he really did deal with a lot of trauma.
He did.
Throughout his life. And it really spoke really early. In his songs and his raps and all of that. So, yeah. That's something I picked up on with DMX.
Yes, and I love how when she talked about how their relationship, how he was soft with her. For me, it reminded me of like Beauty and the Beast. Everybody saw somebody strong and scary, but when he connected with her, it was just like that softer side that like, let me let you in a little bit. So I really like that she expounded upon that side of DMX. Not a lot of people knew that side of him.
Exactly.
That just goes to show how classy she is, which I will always keep giving her respect, because she is definitely a class act. Because with us losing DMX to hip hop, I think it's important for people to know the other side, because most people don't know that human side, that good side, right? Mm-hmm. Although he was very transparent about his whole person, right? But I definitely love that about her, that she used this moment to shine the light on all things good about him. So I always love her for that.
Always. That's good. Always.
Yes.
So more in the chapter that stood out to me, she talked about being her own voice of reason. So it was in pertaining to amping herself up, if you will. She had a lot of anxiety. She was kind of scared. She was, she knew she was, or how she says, she wasn't scared. She was determined. She knew that this was that moment.
Yes.
That if she didn't show up for herself, she wasn't, like, this was the time to shine. That was it. Right. That was, the last label had just dropped her. Yes. So it was like, I got to go.
Yes. Yes. You know when you need to go.
Exactly.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, you only get one time to make a first impression.
That's right. Yeah.
And I love that she was saying she had to be her own voice of reason, because a lot of times we have to pump ourselves up. We have
Absolutely.
To be that person that's confident enough to speak life into yourself, because sometimes we don't have that.
Yes.
Which brings me to my next point, because what she was talking about a lot, once she went into, you know, she did the battle and everything, and then, you know, she was nervous, and then they were like, yo, welcome to Rough Riders. Mm. And she was like, wow, like, I have a community now. Like, people that believe in me, people that want to mentor me, coach me, and push me to be better.
Absolutely.
I love that. I think it's so important, because a lot of times people think, I don't need community. I got me, you know, army of one, or whatever the case is. And we really need people that's around us that's going to support us.
That's right.
Support life to us. Point out when we're messing up and be like, hey, you doing stuff. Because
sometimes that is support.
Like, exactly.
Support doesn't always come with a pat on the back.
Right.
Support comes with, let me talk to you over here, and we're going to talk about, like, you need to stop doing that, or this is what you could do better. But we have to grow up to receive that.
Exactly.
Because some people won't give you that feedback if they feel like you're not in a headspace to receive it.
So good.
So you got to check yourself to, because they say you have to be friendly to have friends, right?
That's right.
So if you want people in your life to feed you, like, constructive criticism, you have to be open to that, because I don't give criticism to people that I feel like is going to shut me down.
Right. And because they won't accept it. You know? You'll be talking to, like, you're talking to somebody's death, because they won't receive anything that you're saying. And that is a part of just growing up and being mature enough to hear the correction and all of that. And people, a lot of people are not there.
Exactly.
So,
no, that's real. Very real.
Absolutely.
I think the last thing that was really important to point out was, once she was accepted, once they say, you know, welcome to Rough Riders, insecurity crept in. So it was like, at that moment, you've been wanting, you've been trying for, you made it.
Yes.
And then you're like, but wait, am I good enough?
Right.
And I think a lot of times we can get to that point because we're not so worried, I guess, about, you know, am I good enough, or what were they thinking? I think we're always worried about what's next, because it's like, okay, I made it here, but now what?
Yeah. But that's what, that's where we have to stop ourselves. And Kyla, you can chime in here too, because as far as corporate America goes, like, once you get in that room, like, you feel like the heat is on. Now I have to perform. Right. We can also spin that back on relationships. You pray for God to send you this person that's going to love you.
Right.
And then when you get them, like, you like kind of freeze up. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, is this it? Yeah, it's it. And it's and the show is on. Like,
exactly.
It's time to go. It's showtime now. Yeah. Like, yes, you prayed for it and you got it. If it wasn't for you, then you wouldn't be here. So I think we have to get to a point where we receive the things that we ask for.
That's
and
so
that
good.
Should also be a part of your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When you give me what I'm asking for, give me the mentality to maintain it, to
there
keep it and hold it down, because
that's
it's just
it.
Not about getting it, right? You can get approved for the loan, but can you take care of the car?
Exactly. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Come on. Real. Analogy.
Yeah, yeah. Real.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really good. And my best friend, she always says, you already have in you what you need. It's already within you. Like, God gives us the tools.
That's
that,
it.
So it's just like, just being confident and know that you have what it takes. But
And I think sometimes we stand in our own way. You know,
100%.
I really do. I think that the insecurities is really a real thing. You know, I know oftentimes I use my own self as an example. I have gotten in my own way of just feeling that, you know, that self-doubt of feeling like, well, maybe I can't. Well, I see somebody else doing it best, maybe for them. No, you are very capable of doing that.
Yes,
you know, and it comes down to, you know, just like Eve, she had to be her own cheerleader.
Yep.
You know, sometimes you won't have to do it by yourself. You can't depend on the mama, daddy, sister, brother, husband, wife, nobody. You have to stand up strong and say, you know what? I'm just going to take this scared and all.
Yeah.
You know, full of fear, not knowing how it's going to turn out. You still got to do it. You got to step forth and you have to do it. Then see, because if you don't, guess what? Then you know you did. If you don't ever put your first foot forward, then you won't know what it's going to be. At least you have taken that step.
I agree.
Then you'll know if it actually works or not.
I agree. But I also, because I 1000% agree with you, but I also believe that us as a culture, it's almost like we are fighting history because we have been beat down for so long.
Absolutely.
You know, as a black man and as a black woman, like we are beat down and criticized and made to feel like you're not even supposed to be here.
Right.
Like, well, are you really smart? Or are you just cute? Because we can't be smart and beautiful. Like we have to choose one. So we are not only battling the voices from within, but we have to remember where those voices came from. Yeah. Those were embedded in our culture.
Absolutely.
Every day we are made to feel like we are not worthy. So it's just not us.
Good,
we're fighting things that were embedded into us on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On purpose. So we have to, that's why I think community is so important.
Exactly.
Because you have to surround yourself with voices. That's why I'm very intentional about my music. I'm very intentional about who I talk to on the phone. Very intentional about who's in this house. Very intentional, especially if I'm feeling like sad or I'm down. Like I purposely put things around me that's going to make me happy because that's coming into your mind and into your soul. Good. So you gotta watch that.
That community for sure. Environment, people, all of the above. So that was chapter 5, right. Pitbull and the Skirt. Loved it. Right. So I think Jen, you have chapter 6.
Yes, chapter 6. What was the name of that chapter? Can you hand me that book?
We're going to get it together, guys, you know.
Yeah.
We're trying to come off the dumb.
So this chapter.
Let's be real. Okay, let's be real.
Let's be real. Oh, how could I forget? So I probably purposely didn't write it down because
I don't know my chapter either.
I was feeling away.
I got to write mine at the time.
I was just thinking. I was like, girl, you don't even know your chapter. I was just thinking to myself, like, I'm just going to say, well, we all.
Here you go.
That's what I was about right today.
That's what I was about.
And she ate.
We just being real. Like, that's what we're here for, okay?
So chapter 6 was Girl Fight. And
that's right.
As soon as I saw it, like, I was triggered. Like, I was triggered because I don't think that we, and I'm going to say we because it's me included because I'm a woman. We don't know the impact on fighting against each other.
Baby.
Like, you might think it's funny and cute to, oh, yeah, I'm about to mess with her a little
bit.
And
it's not.
Or,
it's not,
you don't know who's watching.
Yeah, I don't like her. Mm-mm. Just for no reason. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, she thinks she... We don't know the impact that has. So I'm glad that she wrote about it.
Yeah,
because...
For sure.
She touched on the surface at first where we think she's going to come in and just talk about all the people that didn't like her.
Right.
So she said out the gate, Lil' Kim didn't like her because she came out. She came out the gate too hot. And Lil' Kim was like,
Hold up, Lil' Mama.
Don't
I'm
much.
The queen bee.
But then they became like great, great friends. Yeah. So she named off some of my favorites, Queen Latifah, MC Light, Salt and Pepper. Those were all, you know, down for her. But the newer girls coming in, and once she started to gain fame, they were like, why are you talking to me?
Right.
And I'm like, why wouldn't she talk to you?
Right.
But then she dug a little deeper and she said that she realized like the Rough Riders had her back. Like, did y'all know they were about to fight Mike Tyson for her?
Oh, really? That was good.
Mike Tyson made her feel a way and they were like, one of them went and got a blade. Rachel, did you not know that?
Rachel said I read my chapter.
Rachel said that wasn't my chapter.
Same thing.
No lies.
Right. So one of the Rough Riders got a blade. Like they were plotting to like get at Mike Tyson. And I'm like, oh yeah, they was riding for her for real. I was like, Mike, the Iron Mike, like y'all ready to go out like that? So
that's awesome loyalty. You hear me?
Right. Yeah. Because Iron Mike, like, I think my daddy might be like, well,
maybe you just have to get knocked out or just walk away.
No, Jeff Phillips probably just like he goes,
just walk away.
He quote his favorite line because he don't know they don't smoke in prison no more. He gonna say, just make sure I got money on my books for cigarettes. They don't even smoke in prison no more.
On TV they smoke.
I don't think they can smoke.
Child, they smoke.
Baby,
If they on social media, they don't. Yeah.
Oh, you just don't see them.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. So they undercover. But do y'all know that she said that the real reason that women was at her.
We're getting together.
Yeah, we're going to edit this out. So Rachel said they do smoke.
Time out for Rachel. She ain't time out. Go ahead.
But she said that the real reason why the girls fight is actually because the men put
them against each other. Oh, yeah, yeah, always.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so they think it's funny. They think it's cute. They trying to see who going to win. It's a game to them.
But it was also to take them out. So they're fighting against each other. They put them against each other to get them off focus. Because you no longer focused about being great. You're focused on fighting
the next one. And then that leaves room for the next guy.
So now you throw it off.
Yeah. Wait, so was she trying to say that the men are intimidated by the women rappers? Mm-hmm. And
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I believe that.
You don't?
I think it's more of the, not so much intimidated, but it's like, you know, when there's a room, it's like, if those two people are gone, there's more space for us. Mm-hmm. So if we get them out, we don't have to share the path with them, if you will. Mm-hmm. So maybe not so much intimidation, but it's like, you know, I get a bigger slice.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the men and women are in separate lanes, but I don't know.
Or could they have been intimidated? Maybe. You know, because that is a real thing, man.
Yeah. Or did they look at them like little chihuahuas? Like, girl, shut up. You know, it could be that right. too. Like, girl, don't anybody trying to hear all that soft rap.
You know? Maybe. I mean, go ahead, sis.
But I don't know. Ray, what you think?
No, I think it definitely was intimidation. Mm-hmm. You know, I do. I think that Eve was onto something and they knew it. Mm-hmm. And just like in any situation, men can definitely be intimidated. Yeah. No, I mean, it don't have to be in a rap game. It don't have to be anything like that. It could just be a woman could be making more money.
That would say the money. Mm-hmm.
You know, there are real situations where men can be definitely intimidated of the woman. It shouldn't be, but the reality of it, it does exist.
Yeah. And it only points out, because I think that the men that applies to are only the men that are not on top of their game.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have never met a man. Let's think about the
guys. That's what I was thinking about, a man. Yeah. I was
like a real man.
But there are those ones that are insecure. Only.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that, you know, kind of feminine minded. Because it's like,
those are men.
So then they
men,
don't fall into the category of a real
right.
man.
I mean, yeah, right.
But those are men that don't have nothing going on, though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're worried about the next one.
Or you feel like you should be somewhere. And these are also the same men that don't work to get where they want to be.
Yeah.
Like you sitting around waiting on somebody to give you something.
That's true, too. Absolutely.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So when she witnessed how the girls was treating her, which is what I'll go back to what we said in episode one. We have to learn to use things that are meant to hurt us to make us go harder. And that's what she said.
So
she said, with all the girls coming at her, she said, like, hardly nobody was friendly to her, like all the newbies. So it taught her two things. One, it made her check herself and make sure she was available to newcomers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then two, it made her go harder. So that's the same mindset that I use in work. That's the same mindset that I use. Yeah. Anybody that I deem that's intentionally trying to stop me, I go harder because I'm like, maybe you see something in me that I don't see.
Yes.
Like you trying to see something that I'm ignorant to. So now I'm about to go harder and see what you scared of.
Okay. Yeah. And a lot of times people can see that in you. The things that you don't even see in yourself, people can identify that. They know, like, oh, you got something special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we don't really see it for ourselves. And we be thinking, like, what are you mad about? What are you hating about? What are you jealous about? But the whole time, the people are seeing what you really don't see about yourself, the greatness
because you used to be me.
I'm just doing what I know to do.
Yep.
But that's something that some people that are really lacking that, you know, they become envious of that. Mm-hmm. Which is very unfortunate, but it happens a lot in our community with black on black. It's crazy, but it's true. Okay.
It's
The hate is real. The envy is real. The jealousy is real. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's totally ridiculous. But this is still going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't understand for the life of me, why do I have these enemies that I don't even know? Yeah. Why do you not like me?
Right.
Okay. You don't even know me.
Oh, that you think part. You all that? Says who? You?
Right. Yeah. But your answer has to start being yes. Yes, yeah. I do.
Absolutely.
And I'm upset that you don't think you all that. Because because when somebody says, like, I used to be like, no, I don't feel like that. But as a 40-plus-year-old woman, you're right. Yes, I do. And I'm sorry for you that you don't. I'm sorry for you that you don't feel
absolutely.
The same way.
Yeah.
Oh, you
absolutely.
Think you're too good? Absolutely. There are situations and
absolutely.
People that I do think I'm too good for. I'm sorry for you that you don't feel that way.
So true. So true. I know I spent years trying to prove to other people I hadn't changed. People, like when I moved to Dallas, it was, she changed. And I kept saying, I didn't change. I'm saying, and then
but you're
years
supposed
later,
to change.
Years later, I woke up and I changed. Like,
yeah.
Well, why am I supposed to be who I was in high school?
I knew you in the 10th grade, and now I'm 40. Ma'am, I should have changed.
And if I did not change, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And so should you have changed, but we see that you didn't.
Right.
Shame on you.
Yeah. And I'm sorry for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
chapter
big freedom,
6. Yeah.
Right.
Girl Fight was everything because it checked me, like, once again, like, it just reminded me, like the things that we go through, like, I'm glad to hear that other people in other areas of life and walks of life actually go through the same thing that we do. So
that's right.
Chapter 7, right?
Chapter 7. I think chapter 7 is, chapter 7. All right. So I think I want to rename all the chapters. Chapter 7 for me. Chapter 7 was Let There Be Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rename that one The Power of the Pivot.
Oh,
and
okay.
The reason why is because so in chapter 7, she got dropped from Aftermath and then she got on with Rough Riders. But she thought life was over. Like, I can't believe I went through all of this. I'm on Aftermath. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I can't even get, studio time. She met Mace. Actually, that's probably early chapter, but she ended up getting on Rough Rider and life changed. She became the it girl. Mm-hmm. She at all the fashion shows. And so I just really love how, like, she pivoted into greatness. So that's why I would change it to that.
Get upset when somebody give you a no.
Right.
Or when it don't work out. Because it's a lot of things I'm glad did not work out because I got some beautiful stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
For real.
But the one thing, and we just kind of talked about this, but one thing I wrote down is your new life will cost you your old life.
Ooh.
That's one.
When she said that, I was like, close book. All right.
No, seriously.
Yeah, that's good.
Because imagine trying to walk into your new, hanging on to your old. Like, you can't. You have to let go of that. If you want me to put that new in your hands.
Oh, there's a meme where there's this little girl
with Jesus
is taking a little bear, but he has a gray big old bear behind his back, but he's telling her, give me the little bear, and she's like, no, I don't want to let the little, but he has a gigantic bear like behind his back. So I always think about that too.
That's good.
Yeah, so that's really chapter 7 in a nutshell, y'all.
I love
All right, Ray.
Well,
I got
chapter 8, and I don't know the title, okay?
It doesn't matter because you eat.
But what I do know is this. I can relate to chapter 8 because this was a time where Eve was like, she was crumbling, okay?
Yeah.
And she was crumbling with the weight that she was associated with, okay? Mm-hmm. And that weight looking like close friends, relatives, wanting to carry them along her journey. This is when she was going on tour, so she got this big tour coming up, and then she has these people that she's trying to look out for, the friends and the cousins and the families. And you know how I go when you're just trying to include people and you're trying to include the ones
bring
that you really love. So much so that it took a toll on her.
Yes.
It took a mighty toll on her where she actually was having a major breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it took her manager, that solid support system, somebody that was really like with her
for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watching all of this happen to her. Okay. Watching how she was crumbling and hurt her as she wept. Mm-hmm. You actually went to a secluded area. And but she cried so hard and for so long over the situation because she just couldn't bear it anymore.
Yeah.
And he heard her and he came in there and to console her. And the first thing he said was, let's pray.
Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so profound. Yeah. You know, yeah. Because oftentimes, you know, we can do, we feel like we can fill in our letdowns and all these things that we're experiencing with other stuff. You know, but when he told her, let's pray, let's take it to God.
Because he knew it was bigger than him.
Yes.
It was bigger than
him. It was bigger than him and it was bigger than her. Okay. And then there were some things that she had to see that she had to let go. That she really didn't want to. Her Eve herself. Yeah. But I think that God, a lot of times, God is telling us to let go of things that, like you said, we just want to hold on to it.
Yeah.
Right? We just want to hold on to the things because we're so used to it. And like, we've had it for so long. I had this friend for so long. I had this homegirl. I had this cousin for so long walking with me. Yes. I know what I'm going to get with this person, even if it's toxic. Okay.
Yeah.
I know the toxicity that I'm getting ready to get. So I'll take it.
Because it's familiar.
Yeah, it's familiar. You know the cycle.
Absolutely. And so I think that was the thing that really hit me, because I know during a time of my life, I had to release some people. I did not want to. But then the Lord has his way of showing you who they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And he gave me that glimpse of who these people are that I wanted to stay connected to, that really was not meant to go on that journey.
Right.
You know, and this is where I think Eve got caught up, because you're looking at all the success, and yes, come on, y'all. I'm taking y'all with me. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah. You know, during a time in my life where I hit a peak where I felt like, oh man, I finally get to this point where, you know, I get to enjoy my life. Let me bring you with me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because
No.
I have to quote my, I told y'all about Mary Lou, my 70 plus year old coworker back in the day. I was at my first corporate job and I was going to her because I had this friend I was really close to, but she had said a few things to me that I knew was way off. Like she told me like I should have got pregnant on purpose by this guy I was dating at the time. Yeah. And when she said that, it rung so loud in my ear where I was like, I knew I had to let her go, because I'm like, that sounds like you would do just about anything for some money. So I trusted Mary Lou because she was like that wise person, right? So I was like, But my dad, like, he really values having lifetime friends. So it was hard for me to let friends go back in the day, because my parents have friends that they've had since they were in kindergarten. So that's what they wanted for me, too. So I struggled with letting her go. So I was telling Mary Lou about the girl, and I told her what she said. And she just stayed calm. She said, Jennifer, and we had this long 8-foot table in our area at work. And she said, if you sit on top of this table and your friends are sitting on the ground, is it easier for you to pull them up on top of the table, or is it easier for them to pull you down?
Wow.
And I remember that. And that was 20 something years ago. And I just told somebody about this too. But that's what I remember. That's it's not that you leave everybody on the ground, but if they're like helping themselves get up, that's easier to pull them up, right? But if you're trying to pull somebody up this hell bent on sitting down, you're gonna fall,
honey. That's dead weight.
You are going to fall. So
that's for real.
One thing that's not hard for me, but I do try to be more mindful about it, is letting people go. Like that's just because once you lose people like to death, like forever, I think for me, letting people go is like a little bit easier, because I'm like, you still 6 feet above ground. So
that's right. And I think too, because we come to a point where we understand what some people are for a season, some people are for a lifetime, some people, you know, they're just in your life for you to you know, pour into them or whatever the case is. So understanding when certain relationships or friendships come into your life, what they're really for.
So that's good. People do have to have a purpose.
Yeah. Right. So when you gain that understanding, it's easier. Like you said, you've come to a point now where you know, okay, time for you to go.
Yeah.
So when you come to that level of maturity, then it's easier for you to know.
Like, my mom used to always say, at one time, you never knew him. And I was like, okay.
Wow. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that is good. Mama.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And but don't bypass the red flags, you know?
Don't
ignore them. Don't ignore the red flags, because they're always red flags. Oh, yeah. You know, people either say something slick, and you know, some people like, oh, that was just meant to be funny. No, that was meant to be exactly what it was. And I was supposed to catch that. So yeah, just those flags. Yeah. Now I'm on top of it.
Yeah.
As to where mindful. Before I just kind of brushed it under the rug, ignored it. But you know when it's a
You know. But I understand her breaking point, because you want to balance it out with letting people go that need to be let go. But also, because I relate to this, and Eve was this way too, I sometimes check myself too hard. Like I overthink things. Like, should I let them go? Mm. Or was that too mean? Or let me, and I think the pondering when you know the answer, that's what sends you in a frenzy because you have the answer. So I understand her breaking point because you don't want to be the person to just throw people away.
Absolutely.
Right. So, but I think it goes back to what you, Rachel, and you, Courtney, said too, and Kyla too. You have to be stable minded and grounded in God and in your spiritual walk, because some people we can't figure out, because some people are tricky. Yeah. Some people are going through something and they need you in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And you just need to have that direction to know they should be in this place and not in this place.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't throw them away. You just put them in a different place. But you got to go.
And I think the hardest friendships to break is the ones like the trauma bonded, like when you bond with somebody over trauma.
So real.
And that's just a whole different kind of bond. But then when you get to a place where you're out of the trauma and that person is not in, but you have this loyalty obligation connection, but they're going to pull you. If you are, you know, you're out the trauma, they're still in it. That's the hardest to me, friendship to break.
Yeah.
But you have to break it. You know.
Yeah.
And so that's what I struggle with probably my entire life is, when you go through trauma, you attract people with trauma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You bond with them, but then you're, you know, getting healed or growing and everybody don't grow at the same pace. So to me, and that's what Eve experiences, you know, she had these connections. They smoking weed every day. They drugging, whatever, all they doing. And then she started progressing in life and wanting more. And it's like, okay, y'all pulling me back. So, yeah. So that's, I mean, that's just kind of my life experiences. I feel like those trauma bonding friendships is the ones where it's the hardest to break.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. Sorry. Sis.
No,
I was going to say, and think too, understanding and placing your boundaries, very, very hard, especially with those trauma bonds. But when you're able to place those boundaries and really understand what they are and also understanding to control what you can.
Yeah.
And let go of what you can. A lot of times we're trying to control the narrative of what are they going to think about me if I let them go?
Exactly.
What are they going to think about if I walk away? Are they going to think I'm better than
too
them?
Much.
Exactly. So I always,
and that's not your problem.
Exactly.
That's their business.
Not,
and that's what I've learned. Like that's your business. However you take
100%.
That, have nothing to do with it.
And
you know?
That's part of that confidence, that maturity, that growing up and understanding yourself. And my biggest thing, control what you can, or at least the guy what you can.
That's
so if they thinking what they thinking, like you said, that
business.
Ain't my problem. It's your business.
I love it. That was chapter 8.
That was it.
I love it. Well, Courtney, you want to close us out, though?
All right, y'all. Well, thank you again for tuning in to Let's Be Real, Not Right. We hope you join us next time for episode 3. So as usual, let's be real. Stay real. Do your thing. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's a wrap and way too much fun. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you loved it, share it. If you're new here, subscribe, follow us, and let's do this again in the next episode. Keep it real and don't forget who you are.